And
Commissioner Higgins.
Okay, so bear with me just a second. I thought I unmuted all, but I will, I guess I have to do it one at a time.
Commissioner Higgins.
Present a third time.
Commissioner Dale.
Present but muted.
Yeah, I am getting there. Oh.
Hey, who's here now? I'm here.
Okay, you had to unmute yourself. I was unmuting you.
I'm completely capable of muting and unmuting myself, but you had me muted for some reason.
Okay. Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner Doss.
Here.
And President Coleman.
Present. Well, thank you. We had no closed session tonight, so we're moving into public comment. This portion of the agenda allows for the public to speak to the board on various issues not itemized on this agenda pursuant to the Brown Act. May not take action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda when it comes up. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes during the public comment portion of the agenda regarding items of special interest to the public not appearing on the agenda that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Board of Commissioners. 3 minute time limit may not be transferred to other speakers. 3 minute time limit for each speaker may be extended by the President of the Board of Commissioners or the presiding member of the Board of Commissioners at the regular meeting of the district. 3 minute time limit for each speaker may be enforced by the President of the Board of Commissioners or the presiding member of the Board of Commissioners at the regular meeting of the district.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, sure. And I need to unmute all, which I am not. Okay, allow participants to unmute themselves. Okay, so everyone is unmuted. Are there any public who would like to speak on matters not on the board, not on the agenda tonight?
Yes, sir. Scott Frazier.
Okay. I'm just going to ask for a roll first. Is there anyone else who would like to make public comment tonight? Hearing none, Scott Frazier, you have the floor.
Thank you. Commissioner Coleman, in the supplemental staff report sent out by email, I believe today, there was an item under the bullets listed under discussion talking about repayment plan for RMT2, which would occur possibly in fiscal year 21-20, freeing up $196,000. I actually had to print exhibit A and B so I could read the numbers, but under RMT2, I do not see any item listed at $196,000 annually. And so I have two questions. Is this something that we're going to talk about tonight? Because tonight is primarily Fields Landing Boatyard, Woodley Island Marina, and dredging. And if not tonight, when? And then I have a new topic after that.
You want to bring up your second topic as well.
Okay. As you and I have discussed, Commissioner or Chairman Coleman, I'm interested in your largest indebtedness. I believe it's $1.1 or $1.2 million indebtedness to Coast Seafoods. None of the documents we've received yet reflect that indebtedness and the payments being made. So I'd like to know what line item that is in your overall budget, and I'd like to request a copy.
Okay, thank you. First, I'm just going to ask if there is any other public comment on items not on the agenda. And hearing none, I'm going to ask our executive director, Larry Otker, the matters that Scott Frazier were bringing up, is that on the discussion for the budget tonight?
Yes, those are on discussion. And if you look on page 29 of 32, Scott, on line D2, I think you'll find what you're looking for.
Well, I can't open that window at the same time I've got Zoom open. I can't split my screen. So will it be shown on the Zoom presentation under the agenda page we are on now? In other words, will you get to page 29?
Again, that's an item on the agenda, and this is for items not on the agenda, Scott.
Yeah. So when we get to that item, we'll definitely cover that. If it's not sufficiently covered at that time, or if you have any additional questions, you can bring them up at that time.
But thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, then moving on, before we get to new business, there's a request. We had there was a meeting tonight, or meeting today with the EPA regarding a grant, and I think Commissioner Das is gonna give a brief report on that. Since this is not an actionable item, this is just a report item. I've been informed it's fine to do that, even though it wasn't specifically on the agenda.
Okay. I can do that real quickly right now. This morning at 10 a.m., the EPA, accompanied with a press release, had a virtual seminar, I guess we call it, or a virtual ceremony, discussing and several speakers discussing the grant through the county to the Harbor District and then to THA for the final cleanup on the old roundhouse property, which is the last item that the Harbor District has been working through with THA to complete the sale of that property. So this morning, Congressman Huffman spoke, as well as John Boosterard, the EPA supervisor for our area, Virginia Bass, our county supervisor, myself, Chris Start with Danco Communities, and Marianne Ness of Nordic. And everyone pointed out the several points that EPA allows our community to benefit from that grant. And it's a grant combination loan, $200,000 grant, $100,000 loan with the EPA. And that will clean up and complete the primarily lead-based paint hazards in the historic buildings at the Roundhouse property in Samoa. There is a newsletter, or I mean, there is a press release, and yours truly spoke on behalf of the commission, and so they love you, and they're thankful for all the work the district's done, and onward and upward.
Thank you, Larry Doss.
Commissioner Marks was also on the video.
Oh, great. Thank you. And I hear Richard, you also attended that meeting as
well? Yeah, I just wanted
to. I was unable to make it due to
comment. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment.
Richard.
Commissioner Doss did an exemplary presentation, and it was very well thought out, and he was, I thought, the best speaker there.
Oh, thank you. You know, running up to that, it was one of those things where surprises happen right in front of you before you log on, and this virtual stuff can be a killer, and I had everything but prepared right up to that moment, so I was a little nervous that I'd forget something. Through.
No, see, but the new technology gave you a lot of adrenaline, Larry. Then from the adrenaline flowed the speech. Good for you, man. Thank you for covering that.
Pleasure.
Okay, well, thank you, Commissioner Doss and everyone else. And yeah, this is exciting to get that funding into the county. And speaking of funding, moving on to item three, new business, item A, Jennifer Marlowe, research grant proposal, frameworks for managing the known vulnerability from sea level rise to bluff erosion and exposure of Humboldt Bay nuclear power plant spent nuclear fuel storage site. And So I asked for this to be put on the agenda tonight. I've spoken to the board before about concerns from the spent nuclear fuel depository at King Salmon and not taking the time to worry as much about what has happened in the past, but planning for the future. We have this material on our bay that is a vulnerable area. And so what can we do as a community to help safeguard the community? And especially it is either within or very adjacent to our jurisdiction. And with any kind of major event, it might be right smack in the middle of our jurisdiction. But I think that's something that we should keep ourselves informed of as a board. Professor Marlowe is with us tonight. I don't know if she wants to say anything about this.
Commissioner Coleman,
on what she hopes.
I have to say that it's nuclear, and George Bush made it nuclear, but it's nuclear. Sorry. Nuclear power, not nuclear. So you're mispronouncing it, and I'm nitpicking.
I apologize if I mispronounced it. I'm not sure if I did or didn't, but thank you, Commissioner Higgins. And so, Jennifer Marlowe, are you with us? And perhaps I have to unmute.
Yes, her. I am. I just unmuted myself.
Okay. Not to put you on the spot, but is there anything you'd like to describe about the goals of this research or anything, or we can just move on to discussing the support letter?
Yeah, I would just say the goals are to enhance public understanding of the risks from sea level rise to bluff erosion, and to also inform critical stakeholders from the region of possible strategies for mitigating the risk. And the methods I'm engaging are participatory research methods, specifically scenario planning. Scenario planning methods originate from military and business level planning. They help stakeholders imagine divergent, plausible scenarios of what may be in the future. And in doing so, it creates an opportunity for decision-making to not form around one specific outcome, but rather consider multiple possible outcomes given the uncertainties that shape this problem. There's a spent nuclear fuel site, as Chairman Coleman was saying, on Humboldt Bay. There are currently proposals, actually a contract between PG&E and DOE to transport the waste offsite by 2031. But the offsite storage facilities are not yet licensed by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and they're only described as temporary storage sites. They assume there'll be a federal repository, which is a generous assumption, I would say, based on the failure of Yucca Mountain and all of the politics and geology involved in designating a federal repository. So there's a lot of questions about where the waste will go, when it will go, who will be managing risk, what the unintended consequences of mitigating risk are. And so the research is designed to have discussions around all these questions and to build various scenarios out to enable decision makers to proceed in recommending mitigation of the recommending strategies to mitigate the risk, but in a way that's fully informed and also in a way that considers the goals and the interests of those involved.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion from the board.
I'll make a motion. Stop.
Second.
And is there any discussion on the board? I'll note that in the support letter that it also is saying that the Harbor District, I think it says that we'll engage in the project and participate in the project. And I've already offer to do that, but I'm sure if other commissioners wish to as well.
I have a special interest, having moved to Humboldt County in 1972 and been fairly active in the anti-nuclear movement when the nuke was still nuking. And I have a friend, James Scott Adams, who I recently interviewed on my Monday Morning Magazine show, who is an intervener and who believes that punching a hole in the seabed, not far offshore but very deep, is the solution that needs to be explored. He is presently lodging that as a motion or some kind of, you know, as an intervener in the proceedings. And so I would like to make you aware of his request. And it seems that this technology has a great deal of promise, because if we wanted to put something in a salt cave in Utah, it'd have to go on a truck or a train and nuclear stuff moving all over the country. We could put this on a, you know, on a barge and take it out to the deep ocean, not too far offshore, a couple, 3,000 feet, punch a hole 1,000 feet down, and it would be subtended into the crust. And by the time it came up in Mount Lassen, a few million years from now, it would be harmless. So I think there is a solution. And so I would like you to at least include that in your array of options and suggestions.
Thank you. Do we have any other discussion from the board? Yes, Larry.
I just have a question as far as the amount of this grant and who's paying the grant? Who are we appealing to?
May I answer?
Yes, Jennifer, please.
It's a $60,000, actually it's $90,000 grant, and it's the California Sea Grant New Faculty Program and the CSU Coast Program, which is a network of faculty working on coastal issues in California. And there is an honorarium for the people that attend the scenario planning workshops. I think it's $200 a workshop, but the money will pay for a graduate student to work on the project. It'll pay me summer salary to work on the project. It'll pay an undergraduate research assistant to work on the project. It'll pay for indirect for HSU. It'll pay for me to be released from teaching for 3 units in the fall of 2021, and it'll pay for travel for conferences to share the research and disseminate the findings.
Very good.
Okay, any other discussion from the board?
This is another perfect partnership with Humboldt State answering relevant questions for the community, and I appreciate this endeavor very much.
Thank you.
And just against my better judgment, I will just comment on the idea of barging nuclear fuel out through Humboldt Bay. I'm not sure if that's safer or less safe than just leaving it where it is. I think anytime we pick that stuff and move, it's pretty frightening. But fortunately, it's not within our jurisdiction to decide what to do with it. And I applaud the effort to get some more research so our community can make informed decisions. Is there any public that wishes to comment on this matter? Hearing none, and I think everyone is unmuted or has the ability to unmute themselves at this point. I'll bring it back up to the board and ask for a roll call vote.
Yes, Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yeah.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you. So if that, I'll be in the office tomorrow to sign things. So if that letter is ready, I can sign that tomorrow.
Yeah, the letter, it will be ready.
Great, thank you. Moving on to item B. Let me get my agenda back where it was. I think that is our receive report and receive direction from the board regarding district's response to COVID-19. Do you have any?
I just wanted to give just a really brief update and let the board know that we did open the front doors and we're open to the public now. Not 100% of the time, but the majority of the time, the doors are open. You know, the marina continues to be, you know, fairly busy. Cafe Marina, there's lots of people coming and eating at a safe distance at the marina. And there's one good thing about this is that you see a lot more people out on the balcony. And it's good to see people out on the balcony because we have one of the best views in Humboldt County. And so people really seem to be enjoying getting out of the house and spending time at Woodley Island. And so lastly, I just wanted to say is that I think that we're going to most likely stop putting this on the agenda as the updates. Things seem to be progressing pretty nicely. And then one other component that I'd like to begin to discontinue after the board goes through the budget process is to no longer have the two meetings a month and go back to the one meeting a month. As you recall, that was one of the first things that the board did was when we went to these virtual meetings is we went to a special meeting and a regular meeting and to make sure to try to have smaller meetings in the virtual setting. It's also it's a lot of work from the staff perspective that Mindy and the crew, they have to put out the agendas every 2 weeks, the staff reports, the packets. It gets to a point that that's all we're doing is putting together packets and putting things out. And so our preference would be to start to go back to the one meeting a month format after we get through the budget process. That's my update.
Okay, thank you. So there's no action on this, but do we have any questions, comments, or discussion from the board? Hearing none, any public comment on this item?
Yes, sir, Scott Frazier.
All right, Scott, go ahead.
Chairman Coleman, I think the efficiency with staff time is commendable, but my recollection is your last regular meeting lasted almost 3 hours. So I think you may be busy enough at times to have two meetings a month. So encourage you to consider having a second meeting rather than having marathon meetings.
Thank you. Yep, it's a, any other comments from the public? Okay, bringing it back up to the board. Yes, that is definitely a consideration. And you know, we always have to weigh the idea of having special meetings or particularly long meetings. And sometimes it seems like whichever we choose may have been, in somebody's opinion, was the wrong choice. So we just do the best we can on the information we have. But hopefully when the budget's off the agenda, meetings might not be as packed. I don't know if that's true or not, but if there are no other comments, I think we can move to the next item, which is the fiscal year 2021 district budget preparation, draft goals, revenue and expenditures by programmatic activity. I am going to stop sharing my screen. And I think Adam is going to take over on sharing.
I think hand it to Larry first, I think.
Okay. Well, I think anybody can share at this point. I am going to mute all and unmute Larry for this discussion. And so if there are questions from the board, clarifications during this presentation, you can use that reaction button or wave at me, or use the chat feature. So Larry, go ahead. You have, and are you sharing right now?
Yeah, I believe that's me. I believe so. Need to somehow move these guys out of the way so I can see. Okay, so the somehow I have to get rid of these screens. So basically, I'm used to doing this in PowerPoint format. So doing it one page at a time is going to be, I think I could just do this. There we go.
I think under view, if you go under view on PDF, I think you can view it as slides as well, and it'll be similar to a PowerPoint, but however you want.
Okay. So basically, as everybody knows, we're basically in an international and a national economic recession at this point. And, you know, when our tenants and customers are impacted, then the Harbor District is also impacted. First and foremost, you know, the Harbor District is not immune to the world's economy that's going on. And we, as our tenants make money, then we tend to make money. And as our tenants don't, then we begin to have problems. And so sort of first and foremost, the Cafe Marina, you know, has been shut down for the last couple of months. And the way the lease agreement is structured with Cafe Marina, it's a revenue sharing agreement. They pay a modest monthly lease payment, and then we get a share of their revenues. And so we saw significant reductions in the rent revenues with Cafe Marina. You know, just like all restaurants, you know, did, we saw those impacts. There were also significant impacts in the aquaculture sector. Chris Starboard, we had an upland lease, and we let them out of their upland lease. They still have the Tidelands lease, but we let them out of their upland lease because of the difficulties. Some of the other aquaculture operations, because their primary supplier, you know, was the restaurant and generally the really fresh food business, you know, they took some serious hits. And so the Harbor District also took a few hits associated with the aquaculture. We also had a poor crab season. And so the commercial fishermen, you hear this time and time again, the commercial fishermen had a really tough season. Well, that means that boats from out of the area that normally come here to fish, they didn't make their way up here. And so we saw, you know, quite a few reductions in our rent revenues for the slips at Woodley Island Marina because of the crab season. And also, you know, some reduced transient vessel slips. And when I say that, I mean, you know, we often see people that are just traveling up and down the coast in sailboats and other vessels, and they're looking to come into Humboldt Bay and just stay for a few days. You know, the whole transportation, we've seen some negative impacts on the Woodley Island Marina budget. So within the budget, there's also some management changes. You know, we recently transferred the lease of the Fields Landing Boatyard over to the Renke Marine. And so there's going to be some modifications on the budget that's associated with that. And then really kind of transferring some of the staffing, you know, that we were previously doing in Fields Landing Boatyard, because we're going to have some additional staffing needs, primarily associated with the Nordic Aqua Farms project at the Redwood Marine Terminal 2, because we have to completely clear out the warehouse, the shops and stores building, and all the miscellaneous debris piles and things that are in the back of the area of the former pulp mill, so that those areas can be cleaned out so that Nordic can take over. And this is really a critical year for us with the Nordic Aqua Farms, because with us, the ultimate goal is to begin to get lease payments. And our lease payments kick in when they get the permits. And so we need to make sure that when they get their permits, which it's anticipated in the summer of 2021, that there's no delays on the Harbor District basis, that they can immediately start to go in and do their demolition work. And so there's going to be some expenses that are going to be associated with clearing that. And a lot of that is going to be done directly by Harbor District staff, as opposed to contract labor. And then the next thing, in the past, what we've historically been able to do is we always had lots and lots of space at Redwood Marine Terminal 2. And so we could always plan for some additional income streams to come in, because we would just be always looking for new tenants. With the Nordic Aqua Farms and the existing work that we've been doing in the past couple of years, and hopefully being able to relocate some of the existing tenants that we have in Redwood Marine Terminal 2, that we're nearing 100% occupancy, and we should be very close to 100% occupancy by the end of FY21. And so we're just not able to gain that additional income that we have in the last couple of years. And so this is kind of a new change for us. We still have a lot of vacant yard space and outdoor unimproved spaces generally to lease. And so hopefully we'll start to see some additional leases in those areas. But the inside leases, we just won't see that at Redwood Marine Terminal 2. And so it will really be holding steady this year. We have these legacy commitments that we have, basically things that are kind of continuing with us in the past. And as was mentioned earlier, is we have one of the items is this ongoing debt service that we have for the removal of the hazardous materials at RMT2. And just like Commissioner Doss and Commissioner Marks said earlier, that was a great investment of the Harbor District. It really was a positive thing. But the Harbor District is currently spending about $196,000 a year. And the goal is that when when the Nordic Aqua Farms lease comes to fruition, and they begin to make the monthly payments and make the approximately $550,000 upfront payment to use the substation, then we can pay down that debt. And so the goal is in FY21-22 to have that debt completely paid off. And so not this fiscal year, but next year is to have that debt paid off in full, is what the plan is that we've all been working for. And so then ultimately the question is that we have these commitments for the Shelter Cove Fish Cleaning Station of between $65,000 and $100,000. At Redwood Marine Terminal 2, there's the brownfield cleanup piles that we've been plucking away at. Today we received, basically the cost estimates for the disposal of, I forget exactly how many tons of material there is there. Chris, you could probably help me on that. But basically there's cost overruns of the transport and tipping fees of about $70,000 to remove those hazardous material from the site. And these are, these are priority things that you, once you get started with, it's going to be hard for us not to stop. With the ocean outfall, the inspections that we do on the ocean outfall are really critical. And we're required to do annual inspections every 2 years. This will be the last year that VNN diving is able to dive and do the outfall. And the important part of that is that VNN diving has literally been doing the outfall inspections when the pulp mills were in operation. So they're really familiar with the operation of the pipes, and there he's announced that this is his last year and he's going into retirement. And so a normal year's outfall inspection, dive inspection, it costs about $20,000 a day, and it typically takes at least 3 days of dive time of 10 hours a day to do the inspections of that mile and a half outfall pipe. And so this year, what's happening is that it appears that Simpson is gonna have an inspection of their old outfall pipes, and they wanna use our dive boat. And so we'd really like to be able to piggyback onto the Simpson dive and take the money that Simpson is going to pay us per the fee schedule to use our fireboat, and then take that money and then have VNN diving do some anode replacements so that the joints don't corrode. And then we have these ongoing retirement benefit packages, basically, that are currently at about $50,000 a year. And that's primarily the retirement benefits that we pay to retirees. These are kind of some of the, what I would consider like legacy issues that we're working to kind of clear those off the books, but there's still these bigger projects and these bigger expenses that we have. And then we have these new commitments that we're working on, which is to, you know, $50,000 for the multi-purpose dock and this ongoing Redwood Marine Terminal 2 cleanup for Nordic Aqua Farms. So then, in addition, you know, we can't ever forget is that the reality is the district, you know, has really large and diverse responsibilities. You know, the entire Humboldt Bay, over 2 miles of shoreline of on the Samoa Peninsula, you know, an entire former pulp mill, Fields Landing Boatyard, the Woodley Island Marina. You know, there's large regulatory and statutory requirements that goes on with those, and these management responsibilities that we have, they take a lot of money and time and expertise in order to manage these things. In addition, the Harbor District, including the Woodley Island Marina and our properties, we have well over 300 leases. And so in essence, we're kind of like a property management company in how we manage our properties. And our infrastructure is aging, has lots of deferred maintenance, and it's in one of the most corrosive environments that there are out there. And so it's really susceptible to failure. And we have a lot of unknown problems that kind of kick in every once in a while, that just something will break, because a lot of the things that are underneath the water, you know, you can't see them every day and they'll just break. Like most recently at Woodley Island Marina, we just relocated the Coast Guard back to FDOC, and they were barely there a month. And then the 440 electric that goes out just to serve that vessel, you know, went out. And that's a $15,000 to $25,000, you know, improvement that again wasn't in the budget. And so then when we were working on this, I had each of what I call the division directors, or for each one of the properties, basically submit budgets to us. And then within the budget, there's what I call the, you know, in what's shown in the preliminary budget as the division recommended budget. And so then from that division recommended budget, in order to present a balanced budget, you know, we had to cut $327,000 of things from that budget. These are things that we really, in addition to the things that we already said that we were deferring, these are additional $327,000 just to balance the budget. And so then when we're looking at these projects, we have to look at like, where can we defer? And I look at these, our project pipeline, and which phase of a project are we in? Because the earlier you are in the project means that you're most likely able to delay or defer them. And the later you are in, it becomes harder to delay or defer those. And so, you know, if you're in the planning stage, you know, really, which is really early in the process, you know, the permitting phase, you know, the financing phase, the construction phase, and the operation phase. And so when we're looking at these projects, it's important to know which phase of the project that we're in. And then therefore, is it feasible to cut those? As I was mentioning before with the brownfield program, you know, we're really in the construction phase or the mobilization phase. And so it's as a change order, these are issues that are really hard to not go through with. And so within the preliminary budget, let me see here if I can make this bigger here for everybody. So within the budget, what I want to try to highlight here are a couple of things is, I'm not gonna go over this too much, but as I was, I'm having a hard time with this one. The so within this is Woodley Island Marina in this particular column. And in previous years, we were showing about $630,000 on the slip rents for Woodley Island Marina. And the transient rents were also higher. For the upland rents, we saw a significant reduction in the upland rents as well. And so these are ones that we had issues with. With this column here is the Redwood Marine Terminal 2 column. And on the upland rents, it shows $560,000. And just so you know, within Redwood Marine Terminal 2, that there's approximately $100,000 that's in the Tidelands revenue, this $307,000, that's actually coming from Coast Seafood and the Taylor, because they're in the water, then they show up in the Tidelands budget, even though they're really on Redwood Marine Terminal 2 and use the upland and use the dock and all of those things. And so even though we've broken this out into these categories, it's not a direct, you know, exact science that every income and every expense goes into that category. One other thing is this this $50,000 that you see here. What this is as we said, is that we got money from FEMA to get reimbursed for the dredging last year. As part of that FEMA, that they're giving us $50,000 of administrative funds in addition to the money to dredge. And so that $50,000 is a one-time kind of administrative grant that we have from the income stream there. So jumping over to the expense side of the budget is this is in this column that you guys have in your packet. This is the division recommended. And then here are the cuts to the different line items that we're proposing. And then this is my recommended preliminary budget in this column, the one that says director's recommendation. This is what we're recommending. And this is what gives us the balanced budget at the end. And so then over in this far column that you can't really see unless I really make it small, is this is kind of highlights what specifically each one of these line items would be cutting. And so just a couple of items that I want to highlight on, you know, the expense side before we go further is that currently within the staffing costs in the personnel expenses, we have approximately $1.4 million of personnel costs between the wages and the benefits. And that represents basically 47% of our total expenses, not including debt service. So a little less than half of all of the expenses that the Harbor District has of the total expenses, including capital outlays and maintenance and everything, with the exception of debt service, is personnel costs. And so our personnel costs are high. And you can see that the payroll burden, which are the benefit package as compared to the salary and wages, it costs a lot of money for health insurance and retirement and the other benefits that we have. And so I know the board's aware of that. I just want to point that out. And at this point, we're not proposing any cuts to the salary or the benefits. The important thing that the board should know is that our contract is expired, and the Labor Relations Committee has been actively meeting with the union, the new union, Operating Engineers number 3. And so we don't know what the final outcome will be of those budget negotiations and then ultimately what the board will approve. But whatever is approved, those will definitely impact the budget. And so going in here, the couple of main things is that with the recent agreement that the Harbor District entered into with the expansion of the Nordic Aqua Farms, they're going to be taking over the 20 megawatt substation. They've asked to take that over early, and we're anticipating that that will save in just the PG&E cost $18,000 a year for the Harbor District. So we'd be saving, and I believe I have that in the wrong column. That should be a negative 18 as opposed to a cut. That should be an addition as opposed to a subtraction. That's a mistake on my part. And so then the second one is the engineering and planning fees. We're just going to have to really tighten the belt on how we're using planning and engineering services. And we're proposing to cut $20,000 from the planning and 27,000 on the engineering side. And then we are planning to eliminate the matching funds for the Headwaters grant for the proposed new offshore multi-purpose dock at this point in time. You know, we'll continue to work on that and look for the money to replace that. But at this point, in order to submit a balanced budget, that we'd have to not proceed with that the plans that we currently have embarked on. This down here is the mitigation property, the Bay Street property, which is really to help us with the dredging, to get the suction dredging. We're still proposing to keep $65,000 in the budget, but reduce the original $150,000 that Adam had recommended to really see that through. And Adam will go into that a little bit later in the presentation. So then in here, we're proposing $20,000 cuts, which would be to the sea chest, because again, we're passing those costs onto the Nordic Aqua Farms that we would otherwise do ourselves. And then the fire infrastructure that would be associated with Red Tank, we're just gonna have to delay that and limp along for a while. The $65,000 is the fish cleaning station for the Shelter Cove. In order to balance the budget, we wouldn't be able to do the Shelter Cove fish cleaning station unless we can find some additional revenues. And so then really in the last comment, and this goes right to sort of Scott Frazier's question, is that over here in the debt is that what we have is we have the 2014 bonds and this $207,000. This is really associated with the harbor deepening project. In other words, when they made the entrance channel deeper and overall improved the channel, there was a bond that was issued by the Harbor District. And so the Harbor District pays $207,000 a year for those expenses. As you in the previous one, and I'm not gonna go back and forth, there's $150,000 that we're projecting of income from the harbor surcharge fees to help to offset some of those expenses. The $100,000 over here, and again, this is one bond, but it's split between two. This other $100,000 is really from when the district originally built Woodley Island Marina and sort of the continuing payments that we've refinanced year after year after year, sort of the long-term debt. So there's $307,000 of debt service on the 2014 bonds. And then the Coast Seafood, which is the hazardous material loan that we're hoping to alleviate, is the $196,000. The $234,000 payment, that's the New Market Tax Credit payments that are associated with the Redwood Marine Terminal 2. And so in the end, kind of what these tables sort of show is the total expenses, and the recommended is over here at $307,000. Or I'm sorry, $3,700,000. And the total revenue is $3,719,000 for a remaining net income of approximately $18,000 at the end of the day. And so that's kind of is my long-winded overview. And so Adam and Chris would go into details, you know, on the project specific. And then if you're okay with that, then we would just continue the presentation and shift it over to Adam briefly.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's hear from Adam, and he should be able to share his screen now.
Yeah, working on it. I think it's actually going to go to Chris now in terms of presenting, but I can switch slides from there, Chris.
I'm here. I can see your screen, so I can just go off that if that works for everybody.
Yeah, please do.
So Field Landing Boatyard, some of the goals we have down there for the coming budget year is to complete the transition to our new lessee. Might be worthy to note that as of today, RMF has got off to an outstanding start. That boatyard has just been hopping, in so much as there's been double stacking of boats. So just a nice positive side note to share with everybody. We've got our wash water, stormwater management program. Adam and I have reported in the past that while we're making improvements, we still have a long way to go on that. So we want to continue that process and make sure that we maintain compliance, determine a long-term solution for that. Right now, it's a very hands-on approach to treatment. So we're looking to continue to perfect a long-term system, commence the demolition of abandoned and non-operative vessels, replace some failed windows and an entrance door to the main building, repair and secure our overhead door. Many of you probably don't realize how large the door is for that travel lift, or perhaps you do, but with the winds that we get down at the boatyard, it's quite a challenge to keep that door secure and functional. So we have fabrication to strengthen that. And then we want to grub and maintain our south acreage for future use or opportunities that may present themselves there. Moving on to the next slide, we've got income. So we've given an idea of what we get in our different income categories. We have our boatyard facilities, which is Mr. Rinky and some other smaller rents that we receive there. We have a cellular lease in place. And then we have marine contractors who rent from us, such as MSRC and Brusco Tug and Barge or ZNZ Marine Services. Moving on to expenses, these are the items that we are going to, we've put in the budget. So we've put $9,000 in for the wash water and pretreatment. This is the filtering of the metals that come from boats as they're maintained in the yard. $7,500 to start the boat predisposal process. Well, we have a grant. We also have commercial vessels that do not allow us to be, or the grant does not allow us to apply those funds to those. So we want to begin the process of getting the fuels out of them, any of the engines and metals and batteries and whatnot. Facility improvements for the things that I mentioned, such as the door, windows. We have some equipment repairs. This is, it takes a reinvestment in the travel lift. And while we share that with Mr. Rinky, there are some obligations of the district as well as those that he perform in his lease. We have general repairs and maintenance as a landlord to put into the facility. And then a budget to grub that south pad. In terms of deferrals, we'd like to spend quite a bit more on boat predisposal. We have some preliminary numbers based on size and tonnage for a couple of the larger commercial vessels that are down there and what it would take to take them down. Just to give you an example, there's one boat in the boatyard that's about 70 feet. And you know, preliminary numbers suggest that boat would be between $15,000 to $20,000 to demolish it, and that's with salvage value for steel. So we have to defer a portion of that. We're going to take small steps. Our stormwater, we have an ultimate plan that we'd put together that was in a much larger number, but we're going to defer a portion of that and just work on our planning and permitting this year. Sooner or later, we'll have to reseal the tarmac out there. A large portion of the facility had some siding repairs not too many years ago, but the remainder of it, if we don't apply paint, of course, we'll end up in the same condition. And finally, the travel lift dock. While we're still operating in a good area, you know, submerged steel and concrete pilings in a bay require periodic maintenance and strengthening and inspection. So I think after that, we have Woodley Island Marina. And one of the items that we started on last year, we've gotten a little feedback from tenants that spoke, and just good general practices is just to establish a facilities capital improvement and operations plan to begin strong focus on our dock improvements. We have weldments that require repair, replacement rollers that are missing. We have the white caps on the top of the pilings, which in some cases are broken or just don't look so good any longer. Resurface the gangway ramps for safe pedestrian travel to the actual docks themselves. Improve the island passive security, which is things such as our camera, our lightings, our automated lock systems. And then continue our communication with the island tenants to promote a strong neighborhood watch and, you know, self-reliant community. We've mentioned many times about the real attentive and vigilant of people we have here on the island. Those relations that we build with them are strong, they're important, and we can even continue to grow those even more. So then we have, we want to work on the lighting. So we're looking to, or excuse me, I skipped one. I'm looking at some of my own notes here, forgive me. You can go back, thank you, Adam. So strengthen our partner agency relations to promote Woodley Island as a commercial, recreational, and tourist destination. Director Ocker talked about the attendance we've had out here. And there is no doubt this is a hopping island and it's a pretty darn nice place to be. So we'd like to continue to help get some attention with some of our partners. Promote dockside and on-site fish sales. There's a number of vessels that sell, but we had a new vessel come on board selling this year. And, you know, I have to commend them for their good job and social distancing. But, you know, this particular vessel, which sells on G-Dock, I believe it is, the line daily for these people or for people to come out and buy their fresh fish, it was awesome. It was great to see. So we'd like to continue to do that and help support our commercial fishermen or fisher persons, if you will, and their crews and families. And then increase an efficient and appropriate lighting system. We were on track with RCEA for a lighting audit and some significant upgrades out here. COVID obviously slowed that down. RCEA let us know that, well, the current funding program, because it's on a fiscal year, is due to run out. They definitely want to reopen the application for us for the program for the coming fiscal year. So we're excited to do that. Then looking at the revenue, we've got the different categories. Again, Director Ocker indicated that the slip rents are down. That should be about $620,000 based on the preliminary budget, which of course would affect the total. Those are the various areas in which we receive income on the island. And then for the expenses or the things that, on the next slide, and I apologize, it looks like there's a typo when there says income, those are actually expense, but dock improvements, we plan to invest $27,500 in dock improvements. The F-Dock electric, again, Director Ocker mentioned that we had a failure with the supply line for the Coast Guard. So this $25,000 is to provide a new submersible water feed to the U.S. Coast Guard, and then the appropriate connections, both with their shore tie, our panel, and our switch at the head of the dock. Facility security and lighting, that's the passive security and lighting that I mentioned. We have vessel maintenance, which includes Fire One and the Port Authority vessel. Equipment maintenance, all of the tools and items we use here on the island. And then just general improvements and replacements. And some of those replacements are little things, such as the top of our flagpole, all the way down to, you know, small pumps that we use in the operation, daily operations of the marina. Then there's those things that we have to defer. And so we've got some significant deferrals here, but we have a roof replacement over the main building, the restrooms and showers, as well as Cafe Marina, parking lots and roads that either need pothole repairs or a reseal. Don't think that we aren't tackling these on small items here and there as we can within our abilities, but these are the bigger projects that we would bring specialists in, the contractors that perform this work. Build system upgrades, working on our sewer line. It's something that we jet out on a quarterly basis and periodically have issues. We are working with the restaurant to perfect their grease trap operations so we can limit some of that, but there is going to be at some point in time some replacements that are necessary in order to continue our operations. And then general infrastructure improvements, probably the biggest and most notable here. We have a little bit of equipment replacement on there, and ultimately that would allow us to do some, get more of our bilge system active within the marina. Right now we have a dedicated pump out station, D23, and that's working well, but there are some of our larger vessels where it would be a better option for all of us if we had some of the bilge system up in place. So we'll approach those in coming years. I think that's it for me tonight. Back to you, Adam.
Hey, Chris, this is Greg.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for that.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Sorry, I think there's a little lag sometimes in the slide.
Yeah,
flipping made it harder for you, but Anyway, I'm going to talk now about dredging and our goals revolving around our dredging efforts and how that relates to the budget. I'll let you know before I get to it now, you know, that the budget information for this and what Chris just presented was developed prior to us looking at the necessary cuts. So these numbers here don't match what's in the preliminary budget that you're looking at for approval. Some of the numbers have gone down, as you're aware now. And I'll try to talk about that a little as I go through it. It doesn't change any of our overall goals with regards to dredging. It may affect how far we can get with some of it, which I'll reflect on as I go. So we've broken our goals into properties here, and then on the next slide, we'll talk about our core Army Corps channel dredging-related goals. So for Woodley Island and Marina, as the board is well aware, we released a request for proposals to do emergency dredging. And this is continuing in the C to G fairways for up to around 7,000 cubic yards that'll be dredged using the FEMA Cal OES funding. And then there's an option for bidders in the request for proposals, which would bring the total dredging up to about 11,000 cubic yards. And so for that 4,000 cubic yard difference between the 7,000 cubic yard FEMA funding and the maximum 11,000 cubic yard funding, we'll have a cost per cubic yard bids on that. And then once we see those bids, we can look at the cost, look at our budget, and determine if we want to fund out of the district's dredge fund any portion, none of it, all of it, or some portion of that 4,000 additional cubic yards. As I've talked about before, there's some benefit in doing it because it would complete those four fairways. But again, it depends on, you know, the value of those bids and reflecting on the overall budget. For Fields Landing, you know, we did a great job dredging this past year. I think it's going to be maybe a decade before we really need to dredge in there again, but we're going to continue to monitor the site for shoaling so we can see problems as they arise and address them. We are definitely planning on starting to look at King Salmon. I don't think we'll be dredging the Fisherman's Channel at King Salmon this year, but we want to make a lot of headway in terms of planning and permitting so we can do that. The other big move is, as you know, we're seeking permits to allow for suction dredging. The main permit we need to get to allow for that is an incidental take permit for longfin smelt. And as we've talked about a bunch, once we can do suction dredging, we believe we can dredge a lot cheaper and we can beneficially use the sediments. There's just a lot of value. So we're really pushing hard on that. And also related to that same thing is partnering with Danco and, you know, looking at the Samoa town site and other places along the peninsula where we can beneficially use the sediment, analyzing those sites, developing project descriptions for beneficially using the sediment for sea level rise, tsunami adaptation, and getting permits. And just intricately related to all that too is we're close to, you know, finishing the draft EIR for the sediment management program. We'll certainly be completing that document this year. We continue to work with the Army Corps of Engineers to make sure that dredging of the entrance is done, make sure that we're getting the survey results quickly so we can inform the shipping entities and they know what draft restrictions they're dealing with. As you know, there's a great job done this year dredging the inner channel right in front of Woodley Island Marina. Continue to coordinate with the Corps on that, as well as the jetty repairs. And then we'll also be looking at Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 dredging needs. So again, looking at the income, which doesn't change, you know, from what's in the preliminary budget. So, you know, after receiving the reimbursement from FEMA and Cal OES, the balance of our dredge fund will be about $700,000 per year. Our overall goal for the dredge fund is to contribute $400,000 per year $200,000 of that would come from the dredge surcharge fee, the increased fee. But we're pushing back implementation of that fee because of COVID-19. It's not the right time to be increasing people's fees, we don't think, right now. So we're estimating that we're going to give back about $125,000 this year from the dredge surcharge fee, a 25% increase from what it was. And then our goal is also to contribute $200,000 from other district revenue, which would probably, you know, mainly be property taxes. But as Larry, you know, pointed out, you know, this is not the year for us to start contributing that. We probably just don't have it. So overall, we're looking at about $125,000 income this year, revenue. In terms of expenses, as I mentioned, for the dredging this year, we're going to have a decision to make once we get the bids about whether and how much money from our dredge fund we want to contribute to add on to the FEMA funding. And you know, I'm estimating that could be up to $150,000 to finish those fairways. Could be more, could be less. I can't really guess what the bids are going to be. If, you know, we'll have to have a recommendation on that once we see the bids. For dredge planning and permitting, again, this is originally what I was estimating to, you know, really move along and kind of do what we need to do in terms of design and planning and a lot of the restoration work out at the Bay Street property to get the incidental take permit and then to do all the necessary testing and permitting out on the peninsula for the beneficial use. We're looking at about $150,000 per year. We're now looking at around $65,000 this next year, not per year, we're looking at $150,000 for next year. We're now looking at about $65,000. You know, we're still going to get a long ways with that in terms of design and stuff. It, you know, there's just a lot of uncertainty as we start broaching this issues with California Department of Fish and Wildlife, uncertainty about what the cost of the restoration is going to be in order to get some certain amount of take and some certain amount of dredging we can do. We really don't know. $65,000 is still going to get us a long ways this year. And we're really happy to see that we're closing on the property really soon and definitely making a lot of progress. And just a little summary slide. Again, the current balance, 700,000. We anticipate 125,000 in revenue this year from the dredge surcharge fee. For the dredging optional expense, I've stated a few times already, but we're gonna have a choice to make about how much we wanna kick in on the dredging of Woodley Island this year. And then again, you know, initially we're allocating 50 and 100 grand respectively for the Samoa planning and for the Bay Street restoration for the take permit. We're now looking at about $65,000 for those two. And then just to note, you know, because it might be helpful for the discussions as they go tonight, we have included all the slides from the past budget presentations that we gave. If anyone wants to go back and look at any of those figures, and I think that's it for our presentation. Unless Larry, if there's anything you want to chime in that I missed or that Chris missed or anything like that, you're muted.
Two things super quick is that we're really trying to stay disciplined on the dredge surcharge fund and whatever goes in, keeping track of it and really keep track of the expenses and not just treating that like it's general fund. So we're really, really trying to be disciplined on that as much as we possibly can. And then the second thing is really is we operate on cash flow. I mean, it's just the reality is what we're presenting to you is the overarching budget for the year. And, you know, we don't receive the same amount of money every year. And our monthly, month-to-month expenditures, they vary a great deal. And so even though we're presenting a balanced budget, really, I work closely with Mindy, and Mindy does a great job, and Chris and Adam and everybody, to really watch the timing of our expenses and trying to match up with our bank account. It's really a tight operation that we run here. And I wish we could do everything that we have in the budget. It's actually one of the saddest times of year. And I swear in my career, every time when we begin the budget process, it's one of the hardest times of the year, because it is a reality check that we have to do.
And there is Greg.
Thank you, Larry, Adam, and Chris, for that presentation. I'm going to open it up to the board now for questions and comments.
Can you hear me, Stephen?
I can. You're not very loud, though. I don't, but speak up.
I'll try to be louder. So I have a question. How are we keeping track of the charge?
You really need to sit next to your computer, Greg. Yell into it, man. I'm not getting a thing.
You may want to, excuse me, Greg, you might want to just stop your video. I was having a bad internet connection. I had to stop mine, and then your voice will probably come through better.
Is that better?
Perfect.
So how do we keep track of the drag surcharge at Fields Landing?
You're dropping out.
So the dredge surcharge, the question was, how do we keep track of the money for Fields Landing? Is that the Fields Landing money, we estimate that we collect about $15,000 a year from Fields Landing, and Todd will now collect that money, and then each month he will reimburse us for that. And we won't have a separate dredge fund. There's one dredge fund that includes Fields Landing and Woodley Island Marina combined, but each month, the contract calls for him to reimburse the district $200 per round trip for the dredge surcharge fee.
I just want to say that this was a very, very illuminating presentation. I want to commend the staff for illuminating us. You know, this is the Corona times, and so I think that given the circumstances of other levels of government, that we can weather this, and what's been presented is pretty clear. There's a couple of points. You did cover the real albatross, which was the deepening project back when we made it 48 feet deep, and we'll be paying on that for another 10 years. So that's a major expense, and it's one of those things that's a legacy, although it ended up in a different column. With regard to Bay Street, Bay Street is on top of our King Salmon Hoff property. So we have now invested or been endowed with hundreds of thousands of dollars in property that we wish to make to the benefit of Longfin Smelt. And we don't have any money right now to do that. They should grant us a permit on good faith. We have made these acquisitions, or we've been the beneficiary of these acquisitions. And so it's incumbent on us to try to restore the Longfin Smelt, but they should be showing good faith and giving us a permit right now. And then we will assure them, and they will help us to get the grant funds that will make the habitat real in the long term. But they're unscripted on CalESA, and you're cutting a weak deal on this one, Adam. And so sorry for being so candid, but I think we really need that permit now. And there's no defensible position for them to push back on that.
Okay. God, I hate Zoom.
Richard?
Thank you. What do I have to do? I've raised my hand. I've put everything on. I get interrupted. Each one of these meetings is getting frustrating. I would like for us to adopt a preliminary budget, and I'll make that motion. Then we can have this discussion.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And just aside, Richard, I'm sorry, I didn't I didn't see any hand raising or anything, but and we're learning. This is frustrating. So we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion here on the budget? If not, I have a couple things. So there were a couple line items that you said that we're looking probably to have to cut this year, and that was the co-pays on the grants for the shelter COVID cleaning station and the co-pay for the headwaters on the Redwood Marine Terminal 1 dock. Do you think there's chances, and because of the extenuating circumstances, that these granting agencies would grant us extensions so that we can push these payments and continue the projects? Because they're both projects and monies we want to expend. And so are we going to be asking for extensions on those?
Yeah, is that within the last, within this last week, Adam sent information down to do an extension of the shelter fish cleaning station to see if we could, you know, defer that, and primarily because of COVID-19. Some of the other grants that we've received have automatically granted extensions. And then also made outreach to the EPA this afternoon to see if there was any additional funds that they could contribute with the brownfield remediation project. And so we're certainly not giving up on those projects. What we're doing is outlining the preliminary budget. And then really over the course of the next month and a half, you know, we're really going to have to start looking for money, seeing if we can get some other agencies to help out, seeing if we can, you know, find other money in different places to try to keep these projects going. This is really just the starting point for the discussions of the budget. And that's why we're asking you to adopt the preliminary and then really tell us what are the priorities that you want us to try to get. And it's okay if you say any and all.
Yeah, and understand that's a good clarification that this is the preliminary budget at this time. It is not the final budget we're adopting. I'm going to ask one other question, which I'm sure will come up whether I ask it or not. And I know there's only limited things that can be said about it at this time, but what can you tell us about the status of the Coast Seafood loan at this time? I realize that there's things under negotiation, but that is a big impact on our budget. And so, and can you at least assure that we're not paying the high interest rates that were threatened on that?
Yeah, what is included in the budget and what we have been doing is making sure that all the payments in the first place that we're paying the same interest rate as was always within the, and I don't recall exactly what that was, but that we're not paying any penalty or any increase in payments on the Coast Seafood loan. And so that's first and foremost. Then the second thing is that we're making $13,000 a month payment. That $196,000 should equate out to $13,000 a month plus a one-time annual fee of $40,000. A principal reduction of $40,000. And that was timed because we get our tax payments in December. And so then we would have make an additional $40,000 payment. Because we've continually been making those payments, the performance that are shown at the actuarials of the mortgage basically show is that in 2021, if we can make approximately this $500,000 payment, then that loan will be paid in full. And again, the source of that $500,000 is from the Nordic Aqua Farms, the substation, one-time payment that they would pay us. And so that's where we're at. No increase in interest payments from what was originally no fees, no penalties, and just continuing making an accelerated payment. The $13,000 a month is higher than the standard amortization period. And so really the agreement is as rapid repayment as we can. And so that's the repayment process that we have on that loan.
And it's also my understanding that the Seafood has continued paying all their obligations and they're up to date on all their lease payment and obligations, at least last I heard, correct?
That's correct. Is Coast has been making, they have three leases with the Harbor District. They have the Intertidal, which is in Arcata Bay, and then they have the Upland at RMT2, and then they have the Subtidal lease that is opposite of the Taylor Seafood, and they're current on all three of those lease payments.
Okay, great. That's just what I wanted clarification on. Anything else from the board before I bring it to the public?
Yeah, Stephen, this is Greg. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you really loudly now. That's great.
I put my earplugs in. Hey, so I you know, just as an advocate for checking things off the list, I'm not in favor of postponing the purchase and the finalization of the composting equipment for Sheltered Cove. I know we're in a budget crunch. I'm much more apt, and I've talked to Larry about this, I'm much more apt to reduce the funding for Redwood Terminal 1 dock planning projects than I am to reduce the funding and not do the composter at Shelter Cove. So that's my two bits. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it to the rest of the board.
Okay, thank you. And again, that's not something we need to decide tonight. We decide that with the final budget, if I'm correct. By adopting this preliminary budget, we're not saying that we're not going to do Shelter Cove, correct?
That is correct. This is preliminary.
Okay, good. Just want to be sure that we understand what our vote is tonight. Okay, if nothing else from the board, I will bring it to the...
Just wanted to clarify the proposal that we just saw here, preliminary-wise, with the director's recommendations. We're $18,745 to the good, and that does not leave us much wiggle room. So we should be putting away a couple hundred thousand for those things that can go bad, like it was pointed out by Chris and Adam, as well as Larry earlier. We're in an environment where things can go bad pretty fast, and that difference just barely maybe might be, the difference that fix an electrical line in our environment. So we need to really be tight on this, and I know that our staff is very aware of it, and I appreciate that. I want to thank them for that. And we just need to get, keep our fingers crossed so we've got a couple of these big projects that go through and get through this upcoming next 6 or 8 months, hopefully, and if not a year, and hope that nothing breaks. So we got to keep things tight this next year.
So just so the board knows is that at the next meeting, we hope to have the cash flow analysis for you to see. And just so that it doesn't get lost in the weeds here, is that from the what Adam was outlining on the dredge is as at the end of the year, we should have about $525,000 still in the dredge fund. And then historically, we've used that for sort of the cash flow. We want to keep that money there. But just in case there's an emergency or we really have a low month, then we dip into those money and go in. But we're really being disciplined because that's the direction of the board and what the public demanded is that we really set aside those dredge funds and treat those as a reserve account. And so just wanted to make you aware that there is that additional cash that we will have in the bank to kind of carry us through for cash flow purposes.
Okay, thank you. And another thing I was going to say, but now it just slipped my mind. So I'll take it to the public if there's any public comment on this. And then I'll probably remember while that's happening.
Chairman,
hello, Coleman. Adam.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, do I hear any public wanting to make public comments on this item?
Kent Sawatsky, yes, please, if I may.
Okay, go ahead, Kent.
So I understand this is your tentative budget. I started reviewing your staff report. It was forwarded to me, and I guess you sent out a second staff report or something, which I haven't reviewed at all. I will probably save most of my comments till I review that and the next package that comes out. But these second staff reports and, you know, coming up, should be nice to have those all come out in one thing so we're not having to keep looking all the time to find out what's going on. I do strongly applaud the fact that you are putting your dredging fund into a reserve account. And maybe if you do need to borrow from that account to use, that you go ahead and pay that account like 10% interest or something. That might dissuade you from going to that account, since we did have problems before. And it's justified to get a little bit of a return and penalty when you do borrow from yourself. I strongly support the concept of keeping that separated out and look forward to seeing actually what is the budget. And I couldn't come earlier than me, and I was in the middle of a plumbing call. Otherwise, I would have participated. I hate coming in late like this and sounding a little ill-informed, but I do look forward to seeing what you're actually moving forward after the fact.
Thank you. And do we have any other public wishing to make comments on this item?
Yes. Chairman Coleman, Scott Frazier, Blue Lake.
Yes, sir.
I would like to commend Larry and your staff and yourselves for doing a great job in trying to break this out in a way that's easier to understand than some of the past budgets. It's very commendable. But as Executive Director Oker pointed out, there's at least one error that he's highlighted tonight, and I believe it's not the only one. I also think that your comment about this is a preliminary budget and you can make the hard decisions later when you adopt your final budget is really not the best way to get other folks involved that may have ideas that help you. I think you ought to not consider adopting this preliminary budget with math errors included. You should clean this budget up before you adopt it. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments from the public? Hearing none, I'll bring it back up to the board. And yeah, Kent reminded me of what I was going to comment on earlier. And that was, and Larry and I talked, and I know there were some extenuating circumstances why this budget was placed so late. And these are difficult times, so I get that. But I know you will make every effort humanly and superhumanly possible to make sure for the next meeting that all the budget material is in there as soon as possible with the initial submission of the agenda. And then the other thing I was going to say, and we certainly, this is nothing we're going to hang our budget on, and so I'm glad you bring it up, but I'll bring it up, and I'm sure the staff is diligently looking at any COVID relief funds that might be coming through the state or federal agencies and track all the expenses, the loss of revenues and the extra expenses that we've had as part of this crisis. So as soon as some fund, if and when funds become available, and we can't count on it, but that we're ready to pounce on those as soon as anything might become available. And so if there is not any further discussion, I can ask for, well, I guess I want to ask for, so if we adopt this preliminary budget, where does this preliminary budget go? And like, what happens with it?
What will happen is that we won't transmit it to anybody. We just have that. And then next, you know, starting on the 25th, I believe it is your next meeting. That's just the starting point for the budget. Literally, this will become the starting point. And then we can start to have these hard discussions. We're going to go back and try to find some additional income sources and some potential areas that we could save. And then to see if we could try to put some more of these things back into the budget. And, you know, that's really is kind of the give and take. This is just will become the new column of where do we start this process? And so then this is, you know, literally tomorrow, if you adopt this preliminary budget, then I'll modify this table and then this will become the preliminary budget. And then we could take that preliminary budget and then stick it on the district's website. And then everybody can look and say, here is the starting point for really the budget discussions at this point.
Okay, and there was at least that one error that was pointed out that was in the wrong column that you pointed out. So as we adopt that preliminary budget, make sure that that one's fixed, right?
Yeah, I apologize. I think I misspoke. It's not an error. I was mistaken. Okay. It's income or expense. It's correct is the way it's drafted.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, anything else from the board before I call for a vote?
If I understand right, on our schedule, then June 25th, we're going to see this budget back and we'll be asked on the 25th to approve it as our final budget. Is that right?
That was the way the schedule is, but then there's an additional, if you want to, there's additional special meeting that you could do. We don't have to submit it to the county until the end of July. And so, okay. But the way that it was laid out is we would like to get the budget adopted, you know, at the next meeting, but you really have a whole nother month and a half if you choose to use that time.
Okay. It has to be done though for final adoption and transmission on the July 23rd date. That's our drop dead date. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And I think we're ready for a vote. Could you call a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
And President Coleman?
Yes. Okay, passes. I forget who made the original. I think Richard made the original motion and Patrick the second. Moving on to item. Thank you. Moving on to item D, Humboldt Local Agency Formation Commission. Humboldt Local Agency Formation Commission Independent Special District Election Official Ballot. This doesn't appear to be an action item, but I'm not sure. Can you?
It is an action item.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It is an action item. We're basically LAFCO presented this, and they're asking for the member agencies to vote for either Deborah Lake, who's with the Fruitland Fire Protection District, or Desiree Davenport from Humboldt Communities Services District. And so we're looking for a motion and a second from the board.
I'll move for the lady from the Fruitland Fire District.
I'm sorry. Now I see your hand, Richard.
I've had them both going. Pat tried to block me again. Pat, you turn that off.
All right.
I would like to make a motion that we support Desiree Davenport from the Humboldt Community Service District to go to LAFCO.
I'll second that motion. It's Greg.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Richard. Any discussion from the board?
I always appreciate Commissioner Marks's political acumen.
Okay. Any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none.
Hey, Stephen, I tried to get to you, but I couldn't. Can I still speak?
Let me think about that. Sure, what the heck. Well,
let me get back to me when you've done thinking about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Kent. Sorry, just getting punched.
Some real interesting things will be happening with LAFCO. It's very important that I haven't vetted your people, but I'm trusting Richard in his ultimate wisdom. Forward with that. Today there was the start of a process which would include possibly 2 miles worth of water extension from McKinleyville all the way out to the Cherry Heights Casino out there for a water extension. Of course, that has all come under jurisdiction of LAFCO as far as, you know, effective sprawl and everything in that area. So hopefully you got somebody on there who can make some important decisions regarding our future here. And LAFCO is a very important thing that we work with here. So I trust you, Richard.
Comments? Any other comments from the public? Hearing none, I'll bring the board. If there's no comments, we can go for a vote.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Why not?
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Okay, and our final item on new business is appoint board member to the Wind Energy Subcommittee. As I said, I think at the last meeting, I've taken a job at Redwood Coast Energy Authority, and to avoid any conflict or appearance, I am stepping down from the Harbor District's Wind Energy Subcommittee. Do we have any nominations from board members who would like to be on that? I'll nominate Richard Marks.
I would be honored to serve on that with Commissioner Dale.
Sounds great.
I'm sorry, Larry, I didn't catch what you said.
I guess that's a second.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I should have made that as a motion. I didn't make a motion, so I just made a nomination. So I guess if we could have a motion and a second.
I'll move that we place Commissioner Marks on the Wind Energy Committee together with Commissioner Dale.
I think this is at the discretion of the chair.
That's even better.
It is.
Isn't it?
You may be right. Okay, so I guess, but it is an item, so if there's further discussion from the board, I'll bring it to the public. I'm giving lots of time here, Kent, but hearing nothing from the public, I'll bring it back up. And since, as Commissioner Higgins pointed out, this is just a shared decision, I point Commissioner Marks to the Wind Energy Subcommittee.
Excellent. Thank you.
Do we have any permits?
No.
Any future agenda items? You said we'd like to bring out this new addition on the agenda, I guess.
Richard, Stephen, this is Greg Dale. I was hoping that we could add a decision about the Dog Ranch property acquisition to our agenda next meeting, which I think is on the 25th.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I think we're, that was already in the works.
I would like to see the long fin smelt take permit advance, and I'm not sure if that needs discussion by the commission, but I think we merit a take permit right now, and I'd like to see us be granted that permit because of all we've done in preparation for doing a great job in partnership with Fish and Wildlife on restoring this fish if it needs restoring, and we'll collect more data so that this fish its circumstance is fully known, because it can't impede commerce, and we're doing all we can, and they should let us go forward. So if we need to agendize that, fine. Otherwise, we can. I'll talk to Adam, and I hope we're making progress on that.
I think that's continued. I'm sorry, I was going to say, I think that's continued staff discussion to keep pushing on that, because if it were a matter to vote us, for us to vote on, it would be a unanimous decision, I'm sure. Larry, you were going to say something?
I was going to say that because the scheduling of the dredge RFP, that it's scheduled to go to the Coastal Commission for approval of an amendment the week of July 6th, the 10th. And so we're looking at most likely having a special meeting to approve the contract to dredge Woodley Island Marina sometime during the week of July 13th. And so I just want to give a heads up to the board, because of the short window, we want to get that approved as quickly as we can.
All right, thank you.
I would like to ask whether it's appropriate maybe to put an item on for next meeting, maybe update on the Fairhaven Community Service District and what our relationship is going to be as far as infrastructure on the peninsula.
Okay, thank you. I'd just also like to remind that next meeting is when we're going to be adopting the final budget, hopefully. So I don't know if you feel like that should be next meeting, or we can put that on a soon meeting.
We can put that on a soon meeting, Stephen.
I do think it's worthwhile having the discussion, because we are starting to get more and more into infrastructure on the peninsula, and I think it all should be planned together.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I wasn't trying to say that, but and if we can discuss the agenda coming up, but I would like to move on to item 6, adjournment. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Have a delightful rest of your evening, everybody. Thanks for being here and for bearing with us.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I guess Larry and Larry will talk in the morning about the labor union.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Right now.